Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome again. It's another Spectrum program. Steve Warren here. Got a guy in the studio now that I actually had to throw a net over because I've been wanting him to come in for a couple of years now, but we finally managed to put body and soul together. So I'd like to welcome Wellington Chen. Wellington, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Steve. This is a long time coming.
Yeah, you have a couple of hats that you wear. One is from the Chinatown Partnership.
That's correct.
And one is from the Chinatown BID, which is Business Improvement District.
Right.
For our listeners who see these names around when they're walking through Chinatown, can you explain which each of those entities are and how they are different and how they work together?
Sure, Steve. The Chinatown Partnership is the outgrowth of the ashes of 9/11. And the Chinatown BID, which stands for Business Improvement District, for those of you in Canada, is known as Business Improvement Area. It's known as other names in England and Australia and South Africa and places. So there are about 10 or 11 Chinatown BIDs or BIAs in North America, and there are several thousand BIDs or similar type of organizations around the world.
So you say it started in various places around the world. What started it initially? Was there some catalytic
event? It's a great question. There was a pioneer, a Chinese Canadian from Shanghai, and his name is Alex Ling. Great gentleman. And in 1965, in the outside of Toronto, in Bloor West Village, he was their main street encountered a bit of a problem. So called the horses is out of the barn, and he and his fellow merchants petitioned the Canadian government to get this, tax themselves, so that they can make their own local decisions to make improvements, and took them 5 years. And as a result of his pioneering work and together with his colleagues, they became the world's first BIA that we know of, and now there are several dozen around the world.
There are multiple BIDs throughout the greater New York area, correct?
That's correct. We currently have about 76 business improvement districts, soon to be 80 or more. And the organization that help us promote this is the New York City Department of Small Business Services.
So a lot of the improvements, a lot of the things people see, like sidewalk furniture and trash cans, actually come through the aegis of the BID.
Right. The genesis is similar in parallel track to Alex Ling. For those of you that remember the 1960s, those were the days with a lot of turmoils and upheaval. And so the most of the BID started out with clean and safe. If you don't feel safe and if you don't feel, coming to a place with chaos and graffiti and rodents running around, you're not going to feel that you want to come back again or feel like visiting.
So the business improvement district obviously would have to do with things in the neighborhood, the infrastructure, but you also get involved in events.
That's correct.
That is an ongoing thing throughout the year.
Right.
How did that kind of build out of just the improving the physical plant of the community?
Well, if you read the United Nations report, lately the trend has been looking at how do you do placemaking, especially instantaneous placemaking, quick, fast, without heavy multi-million dollar capital expenditure to do something that would take multi-years or decades to get implemented. The idea is that public realm or the public streets are consume the greatest amount of your surface area. And if you are willing to trade off a couple of parking spaces for a couple of hours, then you can generate a great deal of foot traffic and relaxation and enjoyment for our common humanity, whether it's music, whether it's food, whether it's entertainment. And like you have participated, and kids will have fun, and families will have fun, and the visitors get to relax and meet new people, explore new items in the community, and you sit and relax for a couple of hours, and and that is a good return on investment.
New York City, in addition to other major cities in the U.S., have something similar, and it's a weekend walks
right.
program.
Right.
Tell us about how the BID interfaces with the city's weekend walks program.
Right. The weekend walk was a new experimental program by New York City Department of Transportation. It was a very innovative pilot program. We jumped on it right away. The simple, it's actually a misnomer. It's actually you get to place some furniture, some seating, and for a few hours don't have to worry about cars and or the traffic coming by. And you have to get to sit down. And basically, the idea is to really slow down and look around you and see what's around you and highlight the community. And the our way of doing weekend walks, which is one of the things they do not do, is that we do not provide food or drinks. We only merely provide the platform, the infrastructure, mm-hmm. The stages, the sound equipment, the tents, and DOT lend us the furniture, which your taxpayer dollar already paid for, and we provided the labor. And then the content is how led us to providing the platform for Kappa, right? For a few years before Kappa came back into Chinatown, we were doing, for those of you, I should clarify what Kappa stands for, the Coalition of Asian American Pacific. And they've been doing Asian Heritage Festival for a long, long time.
Right.
And
that's the organization that I've had the pleasure to be a part of for the past 8 or 9 years. And it has moved around
yes.
to a few places.
Right.
It has found a home for the past 4 or 5 years or so
yeah.
Along Mott Street.
We yes.
just did that during Asian Heritage Month, which is always in May.
Right.
And there's a lot of other events going on, but
right.
this is a nice, and it's a pan-Asian event. It's not just a Chinese event.
That's correct. That's correct.
So it's very multicultural and has
yeah.
been for many, many years.
Yeah.
What are some of the other walks?
Well, yeah, we before even weekend walks, we celebrated Earth Day. That was our very first so-called signature event, which is that, you know, the global weather dynamic is shifting, and therefore we need to pay attention and to be we have to credit our local council member Margaret Chin for encouraging Chinatown Partnership to go green, and we launched the Earth Day, and then we subsequently turned that Earth Day into a weekend walks as well. We plant flowers, we have kids come back and help the community beautify, help sweep the streets, and then the meantime also provide some performance and entertainment for the family to come out rather than be in tenement buildings or public housing, get a few hours of in the sunlight and sit in the shade, sample some local food and buy some local thing. And then we even sometimes provide some bouncy castles and that type of thing. In addition, we do what is called ADA, American with Disabilities Act, weekend walks, which is that because of the old infrastructure in Chinatown and Little Italy and the Lower East Side area, most of the buildings do not have the facilities to be wheelchair accessible or not that easily.
Right.
So the idea is really to say, how can we highlight the local offerings by bringing it out onto the street
mm-hmm.
Rather than, yeah. Having them struggle to get into the store.
Go in,
yeah.
Bring everything out. Turn to the partnership for a bit here. You
right.
said that was formed after 9/11?
We came into being, I was the very first employee in 2006, and it was from ground up. We had to search for an office, and we have to search for a space to launch the operational center for the Clean Street, Taste of Clean Street. We had to demonstrate the value of that supplemental cleaning services is a value to this town. Otherwise, you go back to clocks turn back to 12, and you are Cinderella back with a pumpkin and that little four-legged creature.
So the mission statement is pretty much to address the upkeep of the neighborhood for the sake of the business owners and the residents and people there?
Yeah, actually, it's a little bit more than that. We are also facing a fundamental, the ebb and flow of a community cycle. Every ethnic enclave has had issues of sustainability. And it's actually a credit to all the immigrants and people that are looking for a better way to improve themselves that they all succeeded. And so as a community, initially is a landing or a stepping stone for you to have a toehold or a place to hang your hat. After you stabilize your family down or you find an opportunity, you will gradually, it's normal human nature to look for better environments, better places and more opportunities, a chance to grow, and that tend to be outwards. So if you see in most of the communities, whether it's Little Italy, whether it's Little Ireland, Little Germany, or little whatever ethnic group you want to hang the hat on, is all tend to sort of migrate out.
Our guest is Wellington Chen. Wellington's here from the Chinatown Partnership and the Chinatown Business Improvement District, and we've been trying to have him in the studio for a long time to kind of go through some of these things. We'll depart from that subject just briefly before we wrap up here for today. You've been around for quite a while, engaged at the grassroots level in Chinatown. What are the biggest changes that you've seen in Chinatown on the plus side and maybe on the negative side over the past couple of years?
Good question, Steve. The most obvious sign is that, as with most Chinatowns in North America, initially there's only one central one, which is that if you come to a neighborhood and there's no Chinatown, you will establish one, or some will try to be alongside with other ethnic groups, and gradually they will all evolve into satellite ones, meaning that as the population, especially after the 1965 immigration liberalization that John F. Kennedy put into really initiated, the trickle-down effect was that since the 80s, most of the community now have multiple Chinatowns that are sprouting up, that competes with the original Chinatown. So you used to have a monopoly, so to speak, for lack of a better word, and then now competition came in, and they have more room to expand. They have space for parking. They have more room for a backyard to play with. And therefore, you have a choice and multiple.
Which explains why places like Sunset Park in Brooklyn or Avenue U or Flushing in Queens or Elmhurst have all their own communities, and other Asian places like Fort Lee in New Jersey and such are getting a sense of identity, whereas once upon a time it was safety in numbers.
Right.
So, well, Wellington, thank you very much. Would you like to just say anything to invite people listening to visit Chinatown in your own work?
Sure, that's a great question, because I always thought that Chinatown is mislabeled, as misdiagnosed many times. It is actually a home to everyone. It was the third largest concentration of Germans on Earth at one time. It was the home of the original Irish, first home of the ancient order Hibernium, and it was the home for many Jewish of descent and many of Italian descent, as well as other Eastern European countries. And so I'm very optimistic about this Chinatown because we have a very strong, unique position and identity. No one else can compete with the kind of history that we have. Layers upon layers hidden away, that like an onion, and most people have not even scratched the surface, including myself.
A lot of great museums. There's the Museum of Chinese in America. You've got the Tenement Museum.
Yes.
You've got the location of the once notorious Five Points.
Right.
A lot of good walking tours.
Yes.
Very walkable.
Yes.
Around Chinatown. So, Wellington, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate getting some of your very, very busy time. And it's first time I've ever seen you without your camera.
Yeah.
So, but thanks again. I appreciate your being.
Thank you. And really appreciate you inviting me.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.